Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
If you've got your Bible, if you would you turn to John chapter 3? I've wrestled all day long with what to preach, what to say, and if you let me be real honest, I really don't want to preach this in my flesh. If you let me be real honest, I'd want to bring something to you to impress you. I don't want to miss God neither. And I don't hope you don't take this the wrong way, but I don't want to answer to you, but I'll have to stand before God one day. And I look out at the crowd, and I see a lot of folks, and I think to myself, why, Lord, would you want me to preach this? But he knows. So if you'll stand to your feet, I'm going to read one verse, and I'm just going to pay some things I know. I know who holds tomorrow, and I know the Bible said the word shall not return void. We're going to preach by faith tonight. And don't let the familiarity of the text turn you off from what it says. John 3:16 is still the greatest verse, in my opinion, in the Bible. And although you know it, boy, it feels good to be reminded every now and then. And if I was going to have revival, if I'm wanting to say this, if I was going on vacation, I'd go somewhere, I got to fill my gas tank back up. And every now and then, if we're going to get revival, we better fill back up on what got us where we are. I'm just glad that God so loved the world. Hallelujah. God loved me. I don't know why he does. But boy, I sure am glad he loved me. Oh man, pray for me. John chapter 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. I like this. But have everlasting life, if you'll pray with me. Heavenly Father, oh God, I come to you this morning, this evening, God, and I'll be honest, Lord, I need your help, God, more than I've ever. Lord, Father, I feel such a burden tonight. And God, I need you, Lord, God. There's nothing of me to preach, God. I'm nothing without you. But I know if the Holy Ghost of God gets in this, Lord, you can change hearts and you can change lives. God, the Word of God won't return void. And Father, those that believe not is foolishness, but to us, in the belief is the power of God and the salvation. So I pray, Lord, you'd help us tonight. I pray, God, you'd bind every demon and devil of hell away from this place. Give liberty. And God, if there's one here tonight that don't know you, oh, God, I pray that you'd hang them out, Lord, over hell for a while. Let them see their need, but God, show them the Savior. High lifted up, and he may draw them to himself. And God, maybe, Lord, we're just getting cold on you and walking away, maybe trying to backslide. Oh, remind us what you've done for us. God, don't let us get over Calvary. And Lord, we'll thank you for what you do. In Jesus' name we pray it. Amen. You can be seated. I really don't know where I'm going. I'd like to preach in Acts. I'd like to preach over there. And I haven't even thought about this preaching in Jude. I've been telling God about all the messages over there, how wonderful they were. He didn't want to hear them. And I really thought about preaching on the only begotten Son and just preaching on the thought that he had a particular birth and a particular life and a particular death and a particular resurrection. And because of that, you know what I've got now? A particular life. I'm different. I ain't what I used to be. Man, I'm going to die different than I was going to die. Oh, when I be presence of the Lord, be the presence of the body, be presence of the Lord, I'm going home one day. Because he was resurrected, I'm going to go live with him. I just don't think that's what the Lord wants. I just won't give you what's on my heart, if that's all right. I may preach 10 minutes. I may preach an hour. I don't know. But I just really hope this helps you. Don't you see, number one, for God, the greatest authority you ever see in the Bible, right there in that text, for God. Now, I know this is elementary, but can I say something to you tonight? If you come up on the pulpit and you hit me right square in the mouth, I don't think I'd blame you, but can I say this about it? If you was to go apologize to Brother Allen, that wouldn't do you no good. You didn't sin against Brother Allen. You hit me in the mouth. And the day we was born, and the day we sinned and fell short of the glory of God. Can I say something to you, preacher? You can confess it to everybody, but it was God Almighty that was wrong. It was God Almighty that standard was not failed to. But I'm glad, friend, that this verse I'm about to read, that he's also the one that had the authority to give salvation. Also the one that had the love to send his only son and to die for the sin of the world. He was the one with the authority pull you out of the mess you was in and place you upon the solid rock and establish your goings, friend. He was the one with the authority and the very right to save our souls today. The greatest authority in the Bible, you see, is God, for God. And I want you to notice this, the greatest motivation. For God so loved. Can I say something to you this evening? God loves you. Now, you need to hear what I'm saying. 12 years of my life, a lot of y'all know what I did. 12 years of my life, I spent working in narcotics, and I dealt with drug addicts and drug dealers every day. I talked to them over and over and over. And you know what I hear constantly? God just don't love me. There's no way God would want anything to do with me. As a matter of fact, coming to a church the other day, me and Miss Megan pulled into Hardee's to get a biscuit. Somebody say amen. And as we pulled in, we ordered some biscuits, and there was a young man there at the drive-thru. He looked out there and he said, "You must be going to church." And I said, "Yes, sir, I am. Won't you clock out and come on?" And he said, "God don't want nothing to do with me." He said, "God don't love me." He said, "You just don't know what I've done. You don't know where I've been. You don't know what all the things I've done in my life." And I said, "You're right." But the Bible said God don't love some of the world. The Bible didn't say God don't love just the good people. I mean, I'm 100 miles from a Calvinist. Somebody say amen. It said God loves the world. Amen. And I said, "He did. I don't know what you done. But thank God, God knew everything he's going to do, everything you have done, and everything you're going to get done, and he loved you anyway, friend, and God was motivated by his love for you." And I say, friend, he loved you so much, he put no requirements on you to get better. I mean, while he commendeth his love toward us, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died. Amen. Can I say something? He didn't say to get better. He didn't say to clean your life up. That young man would say this. He said, I've heard a lot of young men say, "Well, if I could get some things sorted out." Now, I don't want to be on the nose, but you're not going to get nothing sorted out. What you need is Jesus. Amen. What you need is to realize that God loves you just like you are. If you'll come to him the way you are, you won't leave the way you come, friend. The greatest motivation is love. Let's talk about that just a minute. I mean, love. And I'm going to get to it, but he gave his only begotten son. Now, I've got two babies sitting right back there. And don't think it's the wrong way, preacher, because I love you. But I ain't giving them babies up for you. Them's mine. And I love all of you. And if there's a man come to hurt us, we'd fight to the death. Somebody say it, man. But you ain't taking the place of mine. Them's my babies right there. And I love them. But ain't you glad there's a God in heaven with all authority to send his only begotten son? I'm talking about he loved you. And he sent him to pay your price. God so loved the world. I see, friend, the greatest motive. But, man, I see the greatest invitation, the widest invitation. He said the world, Brother Johnson. I mean, look up in here tonight. If you got breath in your lungs, you qualify to get saved. Somebody say amen. Amen. Now, I don't want to hit it, but I'm telling you, Calvinism's coming everywhere. That don't say the elect world right there, brother. It said the whole world, friend. I'm glad he died for the ungodly. I'm glad he died for the drunk. I'm glad he died for the dope addict. I'm glad he died for the rich and the famous and all in between. God loves the whole world, friend. Then I want you to see this. Can I ask to tell you something about love and Bible love? Hey, young people, you look up here and listen to me. We get this thing twisted up, Brother Allen. We think love's an emotion. Love ain't an emotion. He won't command it out of you. Love the Lord thy God with all thine heart. That's a commandment. Somebody say amen. Love, friend, is something that you express and you're committed to. Let me show you the commitment that God had to you, can I? I mean, God so loved the world. Look what he did. He gave. He gave. Now think just about that a minute. And what he gave, just the greatest gift that's ever been given, his only begotten son. I mean, you think just a minute. I mean, you think about who you was from when the day you got saved. You think about what you did before you got saved. Now, listen, some of y'all have been raised in church. That's all you ever know. I was saved as a little snotty-nosed 10-year-old. I ain't had a whole lot to do wrong by then. You know what I'm saying? But God loved me because he kept me what I was going to be. Amen. And he loved me enough. Now, listen, he gave something. He took his only begotten son, and he gave. What do you mean he gave? Well, he gave him to die. I mean, him that knew no sin, he made sin. Now, just pause right there just a minute. Him that knew no sin, Brother Hank, perfect, holy, righteous, never sinned, never thought of a sin, and contrary to a lot of liberal doctrine, still can't sin. Somebody say amen. There's no sin nature in it. Ain't nobody ever been born like he's born. I mean, listen, friend, he was born, the Holy Ghost of God got around Mary and conceived, friend. But then nobody lived like he lived. Peter said there's no guile found in his mouth. Amen. But now here's why he came, to die. And ain't nobody died like he died. Can you imagine, listen to what the Bible's saying. Ain't what I'm saying, what the Bible's saying. He gave him his only begotten son. He gave him to do what? To die. That's why he come. But boy, I'm so glad he healed the sick. I'm so glad that he healed the leper. I'm so glad he done all the miracles he done, but that ain't why he come. He come to seek and to save that which was lost. That's the only reason. I get kind of tired of hearing the new doctrine over there in the Garden of Gethsemane. Well, is he was trying to get to heaven, get the cross or not? Or was he just trying to get out of that? No, he wasn't getting out of it. He said, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. Amen. Listen to me, despising the shame. What joy set before him? You, friend, the church, the body of Christ. He came with a sole purpose, to go to Calvary in your place and die for your sin. He gave his only begotten son, righteous, holy. Boy, can I say this to you tonight? If that don't get you tractor cranked, we ought to be on the altar. Now listen to what I'm saying. I love my pastor. I love my wife. I love my mom and daddy. I love you. But ain't nobody done what God done for me. Ain't nobody died for me like that. Ain't nobody poured me out of the gates of hell like that. Nobody, friend. It's because he just loved me. Now listen to what I'm telling you. Let's back up a point. He done that because he loved me. And Paul said he died for me. He loved me. It's personal. And if I'd been the only one, he'd have done it anyway. But listen to me. He knew what I was. I had nothing to offer back to God. What made me... Brother Allen, what am I going to give back to God? Either way, knowing there was nothing coming. See, we got a problem. We have a hard time giving if it's not going to be given back to us. This was a one-way transaction, friend. God, out of his own love for us, was committed to us, and he sent his only begotten son. We got nothing to give him back. And yet he said, son, go to Calvary. He said, there's the folks out there that's messed up. And listen, I don't believe this was a hard conversation or a hard sell. Yeah, man. I mean, they agreed upon this before the foundation of the world. He was a lamb slain for the foundation of the world. Calvary was plan A. Yeah, man. And he just took right off to Calvary. And they beat him. And they put them crowns of thorns on his head. And they hit him with those, see the, what is it, 52 stripes or 56 stripes the Jews would let him get? But the Jews ain't what crucified him, the Romans were. And they beat him so bad, according to Psalm 22, his bones could see his outside. They could see the outside. They could look on and see his bones. You see it enters. They beat him that bad. Matter of fact, they say most men never made it to the cross. They all died at the whipping post. He done that, friend. Matter of fact, read Luke 16. Okay, preacher. Read Luke 16. That man, he thirsted. Is that right? He was forsaken. Everything Luke 16, you see that sinner go off in hell. You know what you find the Lord on the cross doing? Being thirsty, being forsaken, carrying the burdens. Amen, friend. Luke 16 is as real as I'm real today. And he done everything that we don't have to go to that place. Do you know what we deserve? exactly what the rich man in Luke 16 got. But they ain't but one person that could rescue from this. And say, I got a King James Bible, and it don't say his one and only son. It don't say his one son. It says his only begotten son. Because there'll never be another like him. And there'll never need to be another like him. Amen. Listen, friend, he died to take your place. That's the gift of God, friend. Every stripe he took. Isaiah 53, bore our griefs, bore our sorrows, the chastisement of our peace was upon him. Is that right? All of that was on him. Why? For God so loved the world. Can I say something to you, friend? It's the widest invitation, but can I give you this, the greatest escape? But can I give you this? I see a great escape right here. Look at here. Whosoever believeth. Can I say something? There's no works to be done. There's nothing you can do. As a matter of fact, in 2 Thessalonians, I wish I could remember the chapter and verse, but Paul said, you turned from idols unto the living God. That's Bible repentance right there. That means this, those idols, Brother Jonathan, man, those was those false idols, but it was also self. It was, if I can do this, I can sacrifice enough, or I can live holy enough, or I can do right enough. And in 2024, you know what we got? Still a lot of false idols. Well, folks are trying to tithe their way into heaven, or church membership their way into heaven, or live right their way into heaven. Don't work that way. The simple way of qualification is whosoever believeth, right? That's it. But I said, what about Romans 10:13, right? What about whosoever call upon the name of the Lord? Read verse 14. How can they call what they have not believed? Amen. I can believe what they have not heard. The Bible said faith cometh by hearing by the word of God. If you put your faith in him, you'll get saved tonight. Can I say I believe there's a misrepresentation in today's church? Not an Amazing Grace. You'll preach it right down the pipe. There's a lot of people, friend, that believe Jesus, but they don't believe on Jesus. And John 3:16 said what? Let's just read it. Whosoever shall believe with what? In him. You got to believe his deity. You got to believe his virgin birth. You got to believe that he died vicariously in your place. That's salvation. That's the gift of God, friend. You got to believe that he rose again that third day. You got to believe he's right hand of the Father. You got to believe that he's coming back. Is that right? I mean, that's the gospel. The death, the burial, and the resurrection. That's it. If you don't believe that, friend, that's not Bible salvation, but I got good news for you. If God's knocking at your heart, all you got to do is trust him. Put your faith in him. And I say something to you tonight. Greatest gift. Man, what a great way to escape. Escape what? I'm going to show you. I'm about done. Am I all right? Don't you see right here? Escape what? Believe that him should what? Not perish. Now, here's the negative part of the message, Brother Ramsey. And I know it ain't always want to be preached on in 2024, but the hell is real. And if we can come around here and we can shout about heaven, how wonderful heaven is, and why I can't wait to get to heaven, I'm glad you can't. I can't neither, amen. But if heaven's real, hell's real. And the gospel, friend, is not that he just died. He died in your place. In your place for what? To redeem you. The Bible said God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. Friend, he died in your place, the just for the unjust. Why? To keep you out of hell, friend. I love that old song. Maybe it ain't that old. It's old to me. I'm not going to hell. Ain't that wonderful? Listen, I don't know about you, and I hope you don't fall out with me here. And Brother Allen, I got saved. That's the only reason I got saved. I didn't understand justification, sanctification. I didn't understand all that mess. Amen. I don't understand a lot of it today, but then I really didn't. This is what I knew, though, that if I did not get saved, I was going to bust the gates of hell wide open. That's what was coming my way. And I could hear my preacher stand up. I mean, he got up there like God dripping off of it. It's what he says. If you don't get saved, you're going to hell, where there'll be gnashing of teeth. He said, you're going to burn, eternally burn, never be consumed. I like that rich man, hell, lift up his eyes and tore me. He said, that's going to be you. All your life, you're going to burn in hell. He said, friend, and there's going to come a time when God's going to have the great white throne judgment, and you're going to think you're going to get some relief. He said, then you're going to stand in front of a holy God, amen, and suffer the indignation of the Lord, because you treaded under the foot the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me put that in Wilkes County terms for you. He's going to be real upset. And he sent his only begotten son to take your place, take that beating, and take that whooping, take your sin, just for you to take your nose and stick it up and walk away, friend. And he's an everlasting hell. I want you to hear a preacher tonight. You're going to live one place or the other. You're either going to live in heaven or you're going to live in hell. Death in the Bible is not what we think it is oftentimes. In our world, many times we think if somebody dies, they're just gone. It's just no. That ain't biblical death. Biblical death is being separated, your soul and spirit, from God. Exactly right. That's why in Ephesians 2:1, he said you were dead in trespasses and sin, but you're quickened. But friend, can I say something? You don't have to perish. If I've studied that right, Brother Jonathan, that Greek tense is a perpetual tense, meaning that it never ends. It's a constant. You'll never get out of it. There's no purgatory. I mean, we're not Mormons. Somebody say amen. You're not going to pray a loved one out of there. If they ever wake up in hell, they'll always be in hell. If you ever open up your eyes in hell, you'll always be in hell. And tonight, here's what I'm trying to tell you. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Why? Whosoever believeth on him, distrust him. Shall, I like that word right there. Look what it says. Should not perish. That sounds pretty certain, don't it? Should not perish. Watch this. Last thing. After this, I'm going to be done. But have everlasting life. Can I thus be an interpreted redneck word for you again? I'm going to live with Jesus forever. If you'll put your faith in him, you're going to live with him forever. Not only is perishing there's that perpetual term, but so is everlasting life. I know these crowds that think I can lose it, but friend, it ain't eternal life if you ever lose it. If I lose it for 5 seconds, it's not eternal. How do I get it back to be everlasting again? But let me tell you why it's eternal. Because it's the only begotten son that died. See, he'd done it right. And when I told you no one lived like he lived, no one died like he died, and no one was born like he's born, what I'm trying to tell you is he was righteous. And we quote this verse a lot. We don't say it a lot, but listen, the Bible said that him that knew no sin had what? Was made sin, that we may be made what? The righteousness of God. Now, here's a big thing. In him. That's positional. And here's what I'm trying to say to you, friend. The very moment you put your faith in Christ and you're sealed to the day of redemption, you're sealed in Christ. If Jesus can't die, I'll never die. As long as he lives, but I'm living. Why? I'm in him. And when God looks at me because I put my faith in him, he don't see what I used to be. Can I preach this a minute right there? He don't see what I used to be. He don't see what I was. I believe, Brother Jonathan, he don't even see me as a sinner that had been washed clean. That ain't the righteousness of God in him. I tell you, when he looks at me through the focal of the glasses of Calvary, through the blood of Christ, and all he sees is him. Let me give you this thought. Here's this napkin that's placed in my Bible. When I fold that Bible up, look up in here, you don't see it no more. You don't even know it's there. It's in him. And when God looks down through Jesus and sees that I'm in Christ, he sees me as Christ. I've been raised in the heavenlies by him. I'm as good in heaven, bless God. I'm as good in heaven right now as I'll ever be. It's signed, it's secure. I'm on my way to glory. Bless God, why? Because God so loved the world and he gave his only begotten son. Whoever will believe in me, whosoever believe in me, shall be saved. I say something to you tonight. That's real easy. If you'll get the piano, I'm going to hush. But look up here to me real quick. Look up here. All you've got to do, if you want to live forever, is quit playing with God and just give it over to God. I'm going to tell you what my burden is in this day and time, Brother Heath. And I don't know why, but it's been on me heavy. I've been preaching the book of Jude at the church on Sundays. I hope it's helping them, boy. It's helping me. But I, you know, 2 Peter said there's a crowd coming. They're going to sneak in privately. And they're going to tear the church up. But in Jude, he said this, a certain men crept in unawares. I'm afraid, friend, there's snakes everywhere. And there's wolves all in the sheep. And I'm afraid we got people that grow up hearing it right. And then they've been washed away. And they're playing religion, preacher. I got them in my church. I'm not going to call no names. Don't get nervous. But I've got them in my church. I worry about them, Brother Allen. I really do. Am I okay? Am I all right? I mean, they dress right. They talk right. But, man, they can live in sin with no conviction. They can do it with no conviction. I'm telling you what my burden is. I'm afraid there's a lot of church members, when the trumpet sounds, going to be on the pews and we're going to be gone. And all they're doing, I don't know why, it's just, all they're doing is playing church. All they're doing is acting like everything's fine when they know down deeper in their heart it's not right. There's something missing. There's something wrong. Don't go to hell simply because you just won't come and say, God, save me. And this is what devil's going to tell you. I'm going to tell you what he's going to say before he says it. What's people going to think about you? I mean, you've been a church member for 20 years. What are they going to think? Who cares? Who cares? I mean, are you going to stay out of heaven because what somebody thinks? Yeah, man, friend, I'm not. Yeah, man. Listen, I threw that to the wind a long time ago. I don't give a rip. Yeah, man. I just won't go to heaven. And tonight, listen to me. Quit playing church if you're playing church. Just put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Friend, what are they going to say? I'm going to tell you what the church is going to say. Are you ready? Hallelujah. That's what they're going to say. That's good. That's wonderful. We may even run a lap. Somebody say amen. You say why? Because there ain't nothing like seeing a sinner just get poured out of hell. Over in the book of Jude, I'm trying to quit. Over in the book of Jude, Brother Jonathan, it says some have a compassion making a difference. You know what? That's right after telling them to contend for the faith in verse 3. I'm not being mean to you tonight. If you're lost, I'm not even trying to be on the nose. I just got enough compassion to tell you the truth. Just if you don't get saved, listen to me. You don't know what tomorrow holds. But here's the thing. If you don't know who holds tomorrow, that's a problem. It's a problem. Listen to me. God so loved the world. And if you're here today, that's you. Preacher, you just don't know. I don't know what you've done. You're exactly right. But he did. Loves you anyway. And if you'll just come, you'll just put your faith in what he done. Listen, it'll change your life. Be the best thing you ever done. But you've got to come. You've got to put your faith in it.